When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
1, 2, 3.
Craig and Bethany rewatch Stell Game. They've loved the show ever since they were weans. But can it stand the test of time? We'll chat shite, then you decide. Cause it's time to rewatch Stell Game with Bethany and Craig.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Stell Game podcast, where we talk about Stell Game and related things. We are part of the View from the Terrace podcast network, and your hosts today are me, Bethany Tinnick, and the ever mediocre Craig Fowler.
And the what?
Ever mediocre.
All right. I mean, it's fair. I just didn't understand what you said.
Oh, so how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, just sitting in my living room in my shorts like I am every single day during this.
In your shorts? So it's December, right?
Yeah, I have central heating, Bethany. Some of us aren't struggling actors.
Well, I'm sat in my cupboard because I'm dedicated and I want good sound. So I'm sat in my cupboard and I've hung blankets all around me because my wardrobe isn't big enough to sit in. So, well, hey.
Is that for soundproofing purposes?
Yeah, and well, so like you can't hear like the echo of the room when you're recording, when you're using a mic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some of us care, Craig.
I'm just letting my cats wander freely.
Tail brushing the microphone.
Yeah, at one point some of them will make a ridiculous noise in the background that'll distract everybody at home, and I'll just have to apologise.
Don't ever apologise. Brilliant. So today, what are we going to talk about, Craig?
It's Stell Game, I think. since it's a Stell Game podcast, that was
my
general idea. This is just going to be an introduction show. Let's just talk about our kind of thoughts of the show overall, and then from this point forward, we should be going through each and every single episode, talking about the episodes in general. Hopefully, inviting a guest on for each episode. It's kind of like an interview section in the middle, and then finish it off with some awards for each episode, like, you know, which character was the best one in this episode, who had the funniest line, etc., etc., etc.
That is perfect. I wasn't all distracted by your cat, so well done. So when did you start watching Stell Game? How old were you, do you think?
Right, okay. Well, how old was I? I'm going to have to work out when it actually came out to answer this question. I must have been around about, 16, 17? So it was, I think it came out in 2002. So I would have been, I would have been 16.
Yeah. 6th of September 2002.
Yes, I just turned 16 and turned 16th the month prior. And I watched it straight away from the start because I was a big fan of Chewing the Fat. I had my reservations that this was going to be the characters that we're going with to do a spin-off show. But kind of as I've got older, I think it was just because I was young and 16 and stupid that I thought it would be better to have like one of the characters that had like the memorable catchphrases to build a show around them instead. But as we know from, you know, the older you get, the more you appreciate good comedy. You know that good comedy isn't built around, like, one catchphrase for, like, every show. It's like, Ricky Gervais, his character in Extras, in like I don't know if it was the specials, where he'd basically made it, but he was doing this terrible British TV show. I think it was a kind of piss take of Mrs. Brown voice, or at least it seemed like a precursor to it, if it wasn't.
Yeah.
where it's just like this terrible catchphrase, just this absolute lowest common denominator comedy. So I watched the show thinking, right, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And then as soon as the first episode, like within about 10 minutes, I was like, you know what, this is pretty good. And then after watching the end of the episode and then watching the next few, I was like, this is great. And then I watched it religiously pretty much every night it came on, unless I was, you know, I was a young man. I could have been getting pished sometimes, but if I wasn't getting pished, I would have been sat in front of the telly watching Still Game. And I even remember like a couple of times getting pissed watching it when it used to come on, when I think it was in its kind of later at night spot. And
a classic evening.
Yeah, I would go around to my pals and we would watch it on a Friday after watching, like, if there was a football game or something, Stick Still Game on. And all of us, you know, pretty much enjoyed it. I think some of their opinions has maybe got a bit snootier towards it as I got older, but I still love it. I still put it on now. It's very much it's up there in my comfort watches, along with...
Yeah, it definitely has turned into a comfort show, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, like Friends and The Simpsons. Like, I could put on any episode and just be like, oh, I'm happy watching this.
Yes. Ah, look, my friends are here.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm not alone.
Jack and Victor don't hate me.
They'll always be there.
I may hate me right now, but they don't.
Oh, I love it.
So what about yourself? Because I'm going to assume, considering you are... God.
Oh, can you remember how old I am? We're only cousins.
I'm trying to think what age I was in those photos I sent you recently when you were you must have been about 3 and I looked about 15. So I'm going to say you are...
That's back when you used to spike your hair up.
let's not talk about that. I'm going to say you're 22.
Yeah, there she is. Yeah, yes. I'm 22. So when it came, you're like, yes, thank
so
God.
Happy with that because I didn't have a fucking clue. That was some class detective work.
So I would have been, if it was in 2002, I would have been 4 when it came out. Maybe a little bit too young to appreciate the nuance of comedy. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it was, so for me, I don't remember it coming out. I just remember it being on all the time. Like, all the time. As you know, obviously, I lived outside of Scotland for a lot of my younger days. And so, like, just watching Scottish shows and Scottish comedy and anything with, like, an actual Scottish accent as well was really cool for me and kind of weird because I was kind of surrounded by non-Scottish people for, like, until I moved back to Glasgow in my teens. So, like, yeah, it was just always there, always on. I think my granny had a box set. I'm like 90% sure that my granny had a box set and she had that, Titanic and Casper the Friendly Ghost, which is a bit of a random trio, but I enjoyed it. So we just sit and put it on and like me and my brother watch them all like consecutively, one after the other, old style binging. So yeah, it's just always been there for me, that's lame. But yeah, it's just always been a part of my life. I never thought about it being a real show. The same way you never think about, like, Friends being filmed. It just exists in your world.
So did you ever get, like... So, obviously, it was York you stayed in for a lot of your life.
Yes. Yeah, my childhood. Between the ages of 6 and 12. So, like, my whole primary school was there, yeah.
So did you ever try and get, like, a wee Yorkshire guy or girl?
A wee Yorkshire girl. Do you want to come and watch Still Game? No, because it was just one of those things, like, I was like, this is for home, and then when my friends are over, we'll watch Hannah Montana. You know, like, it was never, I just knew they wouldn't appreciate it. I remember saying A, so Edinburgh, I remember saying A, and they were like, what? And I was like, oh, just like A. And they went, what? What? They were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, A. And then they say PE instead of gym. And I used to be like, oh, it's gym. And they were like, it's PE, Bethany. Like, so there was no part of me that thought they would appreciate Still Game. Absolutely none of it.
And that's, yeah, you can get that. I'm actually surprised that, it does have a kind of following outside of Scotland. I think it mainly is, like, an absolutely Scottish show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think anybody who has family / grew up in Scotland just has this appreciation for it. Just naturally, it's kind of inherent in us, because every time we see ourselves represented, even in a comedy show, we're like, yeah, that's it, you got it right.
Well, they did actually get it right. I'm actually going to take exception to that, because I've seen Scottish people. In fact, I grew up with Scottish people not being well represented. You've actually maybe living in a better era. You're of a different generation, almost.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I didn't want to say that, but yeah.
Well, like this, for me, this was like the first good Scottish TV programme. Like, there was Taggart, which was all right. There was, right. You know, shite like Take the High Road. There was The High Life, which was a comedy-ish that I didn't... Yeah. Hate when I was younger, but I also didn't really like it either. I don't think it was that good. It was just kind of like that's what kind of passed for acceptable Scottish telly. Yeah. And again, even then, a bit of a stretch. And there's this Chewing the Fat was kind of the first thing, but even still, it was kind of a sketch show. So it was, and even then, it was playing up, kind of making fun of Scottish stereotypes. And that maybe kind of broke through some barriers in itself, and that it kind of allowed us to laugh at ourselves a bit more and to be more truer to ourselves rather than pay on this fucking happy, smiley, dancey, singing, dancing shortbread tin. And this is something that I actually disagree with when people have Scottish people have a criticism of Still Game. Like, they say, like, it's just people saying stuff in like, Scottish accents. But to me, I think that's quite unfair. I think it's... For a starters, I think there's like a lot of real kind of wit and sort of got a razor sharp tongue to it, which is very Scottish. It's not just people, but we have had shows in the past where it's just people saying, it's like stuff that you could write in an office in London and just say, do an impression of a Scottish person, and even if they're Scottish. So like, dial it up to 11. And in Still Game, I never thought they actually dialed it up to 11. I thought they just talked the way that people talked.
Yeah. And it's funny because you watch, I think it's interesting because I don't see the characters as like caricatures. I don't see them as massive stereotypes. Like, yeah, obviously they play it up for the comedy effect. But like, I've met people like that. I used to work in a working man's pub. I've met those men, you know, I've served those men who try and like steal pints, who try and like, you know what I mean? Like, even what happens in the first episode, the guy with his son doing his grandson doing the boxing, right? And I'm like, I've seen that happen in Glasgow, yeah, but like, and it's just mad. And I feel like English people do see that as more of a stereotype, more of a caricature of an actual person, just because they're not used to seeing, let's face it, regional accents represented on TV, because everyone speaks in RP, which, for those of you who don't know, is received pronunciation, which is just English. Like, that's every actor has to learn that accent, because that's, for years and years and years, that's all that was allowed on TV. So like, having a show that where people talked in their own regional accents and then it got actually successful was a massive, massive thing. And it actually, like, I think people underestimate how much it changed the scene for comedy, because that was coming from like Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders and a bit of Fry and Laurie, all of that really, really good comedy. I love that type of sketch show stuff, but really English comedy. And like, it was just, it really changed the way people saw Scottish people. For the first time, we were funny, and not because we were being laughed at.
Yeah. No, that's a perfect way of putting it.
Yeah. It's mad. I don't think we even got... I think Still Game didn't even get to go on, like, actual BBC, like as in nationwide, and when I say nation, in this context, I mean the whole of the UK, like England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, until season 4. They had to do like 3 seasons just in Scotland, and only when it picked up enough traction, BBC were like, hold on a minute. I'll take that, thank you.
But I can still understand why they would be a bit more hesitant, because of the fact that it is very Scottish. But then again, the writing is just very good, and like you say, the characters are more rounded. There is stereotypes to play up to. Isa being the biggest, you know, gabbermouth going, Tam being incredibly tight. I still don't think I've ever met a person that is quite as tight as Tam Riley. But it's, even though those are, then again, those probably are the only two characters that ever get close to kind of caricaturish.
Yeah.
And even then, it's still quite endearing and quite charming. It's not like, roll your eyes, oh, for Christ's sake, this daft joke again.
Yeah, and I think actually I think that's a lot to do with the performances as well. Like, I think the performances are so clever because you kind of get annoyed with them just enough. there's no characters that you just actively despise. Well, for me anyway, I don't know about anyone else, but like, you're always like, oh, you.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like. This is going to sound very wacky, but they do feel like family members. Like, they do feel like there is that kind of comfort and that familiarity. And even if they're doing stuff for the episodes, which you would kind of, if it was like a character on an RTV show, you'd kind of, you'd maybe dislike them a bit more. It's kind of like, what's he like? It's kind of that natural reaction. And they all, there's quite a lot of heart to the show as well. So it's not just... And that's maybe, in some of the later seasons, that it maybe fell down a bit more, that they stopped kind of, I think they leaned too much into the comedy aspect and maybe away from the kind of the soul of the show. But in the earlier ones, there's just like stuff like with Isa's husband leaving her and stuff like that. And the episode at the end of season two where Jack and Victor have a proper falling out. First time I saw that, I was like... It was hard to watch. Like, it was really hard to watch. Yeah. It was like watching two of your friends having a proper fall out. It was like, I feel so uncomfortable. Right. And it's still kind of difficult to watch now. At all.
Yeah. And, like, they set that up so well because, like, I think the fact that they bite... If they had done that in episode 4 or 5, you'd be like, oh, okay. But they waited so long.
Yeah.
And I was like, clever, clever people. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could talk for a long time about... Scottish representation on like stage and screen, because did you know it was a play?
Was it a play before Tune the Fat, or was it kind of a spin-off from that?
I think it was before, and it was just Jack, Victor and Winston. I think those are the three, because it was only three of them, and it was about the three of them being stuck in an elevator and they just talk about shit. Sorry, am I allowed to swear?
Yes, have you not noticed I've been swearing constantly so far?
Oh, okay, good.
I've dropped like about 3 F-bobs and I said wank like about 30 seconds ago.
I'm listening. And they just like talk about shit. And I think that being the inspiration for the first few seasons, I think is so evident because, again, it's not the situations that are funny, it's like their commentary on it. And I think you're right, like the reason that it loses... I guess like ground later on is because they rely more on like funny situations rather than funny spoken word, like spoken, like funny writing. It's interesting.
No, I agree completely with that. That's like, there's not a lot of, they just kind of put them in situations like that an elderly, an old age pensioner would be in. I always laugh when the phrase old age pensioner, it's an old Jack D joke. He says, don't like that phrase, it's like telling them the same thing 3 times.
Yeah.
But it's like putting these characters into it, and I think that was maybe a thing as well, maybe suffered in later seasons, you kind of maybe run out of situations to put them into, and things have to get a bit more elaborate. But I'm kind of railing on, I think a lot of people will know I'm talking about seasons 7 to 9, which if the show takes off enough and gathers enough popularity, I think we will do.
We'll get there.
if it doesn't, then... I'm fine with just doing 1 to 6.
Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry.
But I'm slagging off a lot. But at the same time, I still watched it. I still enjoyed watching it. I felt a bit let down compared to what had come previous. But even then, like 5 and 6 probably isn't as good as the first 4.
Yeah, but then it had such a loyal fan base as well. So like, I think most of us did watch the latter seasons. Like, I don't think there were a lot of people who got bored and dropped off, because I think it built that, especially because it was over such a period of time as well. Like, God, if they do it again, they won't need the old age makeup, will they? Because like,
I think Ford Kiernan especially was getting towards that.
I know. They're like, geez, your wig, and he's like, no. So I don't know, it's a lot. It's good though. Yeah. I mean, it is good. Like, I don't want to shit on the latter seasons, because obviously not what we're here to do. It's just there's a markable difference in style, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think it was kind of helped as well by the change and well being away from like to HD instead. Like, I think that maybe put some more challenges on them as well to try and make them look old. Because in a kind of, on a fuzzier telly, you could kind of tell, like, you can't tell so much that these are guys that are in their like 40s or whatever, playing men who are in their 70s. But when HD comes into it, it's like when the former Sky Sports presenter Richard Keys had to shave the back of his hands because HD telly exposed. He always was famous for having hairy knuckles, but the the HD TVs just showed how hairy they actually were and kind of grossed a lot of people out.
I remember figuring out. I remember finding out, because obviously 4 years old, you're not going to know that they're not actual old people. And I distinctly remember my mum and dad being like, oh, that's the guy from Still Game. And I was like, no, it's not. He's old. And mum and dad were like, oh, Bethany. Like, and it was like such a genuine shock to me. I was like, what? They're not actually OABs? I was like, why did they lie?
Another thing I noticed with watching it back, recently, was that there's some kind of political stuff in there that I hadn't quite picked up on. I just didn't care when I was younger. But kind of like the stuff, like the episode about them, like Winston's rant about how the government basically gives old people fuck all money because they don't give anything like back to the economy, really, apart from like using that money to then, you know, go eat and stuff, go to the pub. But it's basically like they don't work for the economy anymore, so the government would just prefer that they all died, which is it's a certain truth to it, other than the current government, old people tend to vote for them.
Yeah, literally. And I think that's a really interesting... I think that's one of the things that came from having the young men write/play the older people, because, like, I don't think... Like, to be fair, not people in my family, but I've met a lot of OAPs who are, like, really, really right-wing and wouldn't think that at all. But, like, then it's good to have that... I say good because I'm a massive leftist, but it's really good to have that perspective. Do you know what I mean? Like them being aware of how the government sees them and aware about how they're being treated.
I think there's it just seems to be general that most comedies and the best comedians tend to be done by, there are exceptions obviously, but tend to be done by people who are a bit more left leaning. I think if it was written by a bunch of angry old racists,
perhaps it wouldn't have been quite the cult smash.
Yes, aye. It would have been pulled off the air after four episodes for the depiction of Navid.
God. Oh, it's so good.
Right, so what is your we'll rewatch this, so I'm intrigued to see if our minds will change at all across the run. But do you have a favourite episode in mind
Before we start the journey? So here's the thing, you're going to hate me. I can't remember the episode. All I can remember, it's the one where Navid has a UTI, and like he goes to the hospital, gets it all done, and then he goes, start pissing, and he pisses, and he goes, cease pissing, and he stops. And that's one of the first episodes I ever remember watching and like actually laughing out loud at, because I was like, cease pissing, this is a riot. And I don't know, I think I was like 12 at the time, and for some reason it tickled me pink. And so that's always the episode where I'm like, this is I started actively seeking it out and watching it online rather than just it being on when my mum and dad popped it on.
Episode is wireless. It's also got a good
wireless. That's a good season four.
Is it season four?
Yes.
Okay.
Season four, episode two, I think.
I'm surprised it was that late. I'm also looking at something here which says on YouTube. Oh no, yeah, sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing. I was looking at episode rather than season. Yeah, my one comes from season two, and my one is Tappin. My one is the money. The moneylender. Moneylender, that's the A plot.
Yeah.
And the B plot is Tam and Winston having the game of golf against the Neds. And it's my favourite B plot in the entire show. I think that is just absolutely superb. So many... we would do the episode, but there's just so many memorable lines that, like... It's an episode that even my dad's seen, like, a few times. Because I think it was... When it came out, probably he was still living with me at home.
Sorry, Dad, you're watching.
Weirdest arrangement. My dad moved out at 16 and I was just left in the house by myself.
Oh,
it was fine. He was paid for it. So.
Thanks, Dad.
Got my own
did
flat.
Your parents watch it?
My dad certainly watched the first early season ones with me. And I know my mum watched it, I think, all the way through. I think she even watched the later series as well.
Mad.
What about yours?
That's so funny. Do you know what? My mum, I love my mum to pieces, but she has a weird type of like sensibility with programmes. And like if there's an awful lot of swearing in it, she's just not that. It just really puts her off, which is funny because she is it swears like a fucking sailor. I was about to say, you've met my mum, she is your auntie.
Yes.
But like you know my mum. And I was like, mum, why don't you like it? She was like, oh, it's just, I don't know, Bethany, it's just a bit. I was like, mum, this is you.
I'm sure I've never listened to this fucking podcast then.
I know, right? So, well, sorry, Mum. And then my dad, I don't know. My dad wasn't about much. I love him and he's very nice, but he wasn't about much. So, like, I don't really remember sitting watching it with him. So it was mostly just me. And whenever I visited Scotland, I would pop on the box set and have a little...
We should say that your dad was in the army. Was he like, he was just...
Yeah,
like...
no, he wasn't... You know, it's not. He's not negligent.
Right, this isn't like a Papa was a Rolling Stone story.
I mean, he might be lying to me the whole time. Imagine he was like, right, I'm off to war. And then he's off, like, down at the bookies. Bye, Dad, love you.
He's in the pub acting like the character from Stillgrim.
Hey. Yeah, bring it back.
I was going to say Full Circle, but we literally just brought that up like a minute ago.
I don't talk about Still Game on a Still Game podcast. Who do we think we are?
So what about your favourite character?
Do you know what?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right. Again. It's got to be Bobby the Barman, purely because A, his name's Bobby, and B, I think he is my favourite performer. He's my favourite actor. I think his comedic timing, I don't think he gets as much as he should. Gavin Mitchell, thank you. I knew it was a Gavin. I think his comedic timing is just on the dot all the time. He doesn't get an awful lot, but I mean, he does later, but he doesn't get an awful lot at the start, but he's just the perfect supporting role. And I just think he's fantastic. So that's mine. What about yours?
I think the boring answer is to say that my top two are Jack and Victor. I just think they're just, that's, I think, what makes the show as well. They're kind of so likeable. They're so quite rounded as well. Jack's a wee bit more kind of ditzy than Victor. But they both have their moments, obviously. But mm-hmm. and just the pair of them, just obviously they work very well. It's just such a believable friendship as well, which I think is something we probably missed out earlier.
Yeah.
There's just such great chemistry between them, which obviously kind of went, you know, away for the cameras as well, with the two of them working together on Tune the Fat and being pals before then as well. But if I'm going to go away for an answer that's not quite as boring...
It's not boring.
I'll say, of the supporting characters, I'll say Winston, because I think he's also probably the character. He's, like, of the supporting characters, he's maybe the one that doesn't fall into, like, a kind of cliche in any way at all. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no kind of set personality to Winston, and he's... Yeah. He's not always a good guy as well. Like, he's
But I like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good thing. Like, he steals electricity. He's a benefit thief. But you can understand why as well. Because pensioners get sawed off. And he likes the pub. He likes the bookies. He can be a little kind of rude at times. Rude is not the right word for it, but it's kind of like where he kind of interrupts Jack and Victor quite a lot and can be kind of jealous of their friendship and stuff. I just think he's the kind of all the support ones, he's certainly the one that's the most all-rounded and probably maybe the funniest as well. He's always a character as well. You could kind of, if you didn't want to use Jack and Victor to get up to kind of hijinks, which was also a kind of another good thing of the show, to kind of rotate and to use other characters as kind of the as part of the, even like the A plot rather than the B mm-hmm. one, then you would give it to Winston rather than probably before you would give it to anybody else.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And I think definitely there needs to be a shout out for, is it Jane McCarry?
Yes.
Who plays? Yeah, right. Because as the only like regular cast member who is a lady, I think she really, really holds her own as well, because I think it could be so easy to slip into that I'm the only girl in a cast of all men, so I'm going to play up to, like, the feminine side of the character rather than what she is, which is just, like, big Gabby, kind of snide, kind of, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think she does that, like, I think she does that so well. And I think the way she's written, yeah, there's, like, that bit of that, like, village gossip stereotype, but I think she plays it really, really well. And I think it must have been a little bit hard to be the only female cast member in a successful show, because all the other, like, female cast members are in for, like, one or two episodes, I think.
And you're right, like, to go your point about her not being ladylike at all. I mean, there's a lot of kind of good physical actor in it, because they have to portray older men, and I think they pretty much all do a very good job of that, but I don't think anyone does it quite as good as Isa. She's
so funny.
She moves so distinctively.
Yeah.
Barrels around the place. Like,
I know. She's literally like a bull in a china shop. And I love that just like that, like, bulldozer energy. It's so good, and so not like a lot of portrayals of women in comedy shows, you know?
Yeah,
and I think it was a bit ahead of its time. Like when did it air? 2002. Like, come on, back then, 20 years ago. God, 20 years ago. you know, you didn't see that too much. I think it's nice to see it.
And I think most of them were younger, like, adults playing pensioners. Mm. But I think as well, I think it's almost maybe even harder to play for a female to play a kind of older woman and do so convincingly. And you never thought that, like, at no point did you ever think, that's a younger woman kind of playing an older. I think only, it was only sometimes I noticed in the later seasons where it was clear the actress had lost a little bit more weight.
And you're like, where's her bosom?
She was just, like, a lot thinner in the face, and it kind of just made her look a lot younger, because the kind of rounder face she had kind of made her seem a bit older, kind of naturally, kind of more bow-faced.
But
it was funny, when she was on, the actress, Jane, was it McCreary, is it?
McCrary,
yeah.
Was it? Yeah, but McCrary.
She was on I think it was after the last episode, like, the show where they were kind of discussing it in front of, like, a live studio audience. And she was on it, and Ariane, my wife, for people who have not listened to my
wife
appearances on any, cam at you. Or I'll tell everybody about how drunk you were at the wedding.
All right, well. Let's not. Try not to relive that, Christ. Fucking falling down. Ceremony haven't even started yet on my arse.
She was like, oh, wow. She's like, Isa's hot.
she is as well. It's so funny. Oh, love it. We'll get you a girl who can do both. That's what I say.
And it was told as well that, so, Jane McCrary, so Ariane told me this, I think it was somebody that she used to work with and said that she'd been at a wedding, and Jane McCrary was there as Isa. She was earning money, getting paid to go to functions and weddings and parties.
No.
In character as Isa.
Do you know what? Nice work if you can get it.
How fucking great is that?
Go get that dollar, Jane. On you go. Gosh, if someone wanted to pay me to go and just recreate a character that I'd played, and they're like, can you just do it for a couple of hours and, like, go around and chat to people? I'd be like, cool, yeah, that's £600, thanks. Always double it up for weddings. That's what I've learned.
Of course, everyone's expensive for weddings. Right, I think that'll do us.
I think that'll do us too. That was so much fun. Thank you so much for listening. We have been Bethany and Craig, and we've been talking about Still Game, because it's a Still Game podcast. Join us next week, because we're actually going to be watching episode one.
Yay.
Yay. Join us for more cat meow interruptions and us misnaming every single cast member. Thank
yes.
you.
And, characters, cast members, show names. We just get everything wrong.
Get everything wrong. Next week we'll do research, swear.
Wouldn't go that far. This was a Terrace Podcast production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.